is housing healthcare? That is the question we're asking today as we continue our series, Prescription for the Bronx, a week-long look at health and healthcare in the state's least healthy county. As the Affordable Care Act makes it easier to enroll in Medicaid, people living on the streets now have more access to healthcare, but not always housing, and being chronically homeless is terrible for your health and expensive for the city. To bring more people inside and reduce costs, New York is the first in the country to use state Medicaid dollars to build housing for the homeless. WNYC's Amanda Aronchik has the details.
New York has the most expensive Medicaid program in the country. But over the past few years, with a series of innovations, the state managed to save more than $2 billion. And with some of those savings, New York State has started building housing for people who were homeless. Then the state turned around and asked the federal government, could they chip in too? Dr. Bruce Flatick, who ran the federal Medicaid program in the 1990s, says that not only is it not permitted to, it's also a bad idea.
Medicaid is supposed to be health insurance, and not every problem somebody has is a health care problem.
But New York State thinks housing and health care are connected, and recently asked for $750 million in Medicaid aid over 5 years.
The state asked relatively aggressively for it, and the feds told them very nicely, I think, to take a hike.
The federal government has been getting out of paying for housing, the bricks and mortar, for decades. Because once you open that door, well, how do you close it again? There are lots of Americans who need better housing, people whose health would certainly improve if they had a better place to live. The Brook is an example of what New York wants to build more of. It's permanent, supportive housing. It's an apartment complex in the South Bronx with perks. There's a social worker, security, an event planner.
And a doctor. We have a doctor on site, too.
In every way, it is far from where Lizette Encarnacion used to live, back when she was homeless.
You know what's Gowanus Reservoir? Under the bridge. I had a house under there. I had it going on, and then I found a way to break into the bridge, and under the bridge is a room with electricity. Oh, and then I really had it going on.
Sometimes she slept in Prospect Park, but mostly she lived under a bridge beside the Gowanus Canal.
I was smelly. I didn't think I smelled, but I made it like a home, but it wasn't kosher.
Before the trauma, which I'll get to in a moment, she had a career in banking, and she was a homeowner of a real home where she lived with her husband and son.
I was had it going on. I have a double duplex townhouse. I had a Honda. I was doing my thing, money in the bank. I missed the working life.
That all changed one night. Lizette's husband was an alcoholic. He came home drunk and angry.
Me and my son was in the bed. I was in the bed with my son. You know how your kids get in the bed with you and they don't want to sleep in their little tiny bed? My son was 5 years old at the time.
Her husband was also abusive.
And he came home, pulled me from my hair, and started just beating the hell out of me.
She says that that was the day she lost the woman she was. Her husband threw her off the balcony while her son watched from the bed.
What saved me? Why I'm alive? The snow. Yes. It was a real bad storm. And it was really a lot of snow out. I can never forget that. I can't tell you about the year because it's all messed up in there, but yeah, the snow.
Lizette was 7 months pregnant at the time of the fall, and her baby had to be delivered by emergency C-section. She had a traumatic brain injury, injuries to her face and arms, and for a while, they weren't sure she'd make it. She was in the hospital for months, but both she and her new son survived. Once she was released, her sister took her and her children in, but Lizette would wander off.
And yes, my sister had found me a couple of times and brought me back home and tried to get me stabled again. I was real off, but I just went up back.
After a couple of years of coming and going, one day she left her kids with her sister and didn't return at all.
And then my kids are calling me, Mommy, we miss you, and they're doing all these great things. But I was stuck inside myself, you understand?
This is when she began living beside the Gowanus Canal. All told, Lizette was homeless for a decade. Aside from the emotional costs and the physical wear of being on the streets for years, there were also the financial costs.
Were you going to the hospital while you were living on the streets?
A lot, yeah, because of my seizures. They was coming back to back. I used to get multiple seizures. I wasn't properly taking my medications.
And now it's under control.
Oh, yes. Well, a lot of things changed. I'm no longer using. That's why I'm big as a house. I live in a clean environment. I'm part of society just a little bit.
Lizette Encarnacion moved into The Brook in 2012. More than half of the residents who live in the 190 studio apartments were once homeless. Brenda Rosen's organization, Common Ground, manages the building, and she says Lizette's frequent seizures would have likely led to emergency intervention.
The EMS is going to come out, and they're going to triage her and take her to the emergency room. So all of those costs, from the time they come out to the time you get in the ambulance to the time you go, I mean, that's all expensive costs.
Being homeless in the city does not mean living off the grid. City services like police and shelters are necessary, and jails, where many people with severe mental illnesses end up, are expensive too. Rosen says the total figure per person is an estimated $56,000 a year.
That, you know, we as a society are paying for somebody to be on the streets. Versus coming into a permanent supportive housing building like The Brook, which costs roughly $24,000 a year.
There are roughly 47,000 supportive housing units in New York, and many of the new buildings are going up in the Bronx because real estate is still relatively cheap. Few people will dispute that Lizette is better off in her studio apartment than she was living under a bridge. And it's far cheaper if she has a doctor downstairs than if she shows up regularly in the ER. The question is, how do you pay for this kind of housing?
So we'll start our public comment and question process now.
This brings us back to the housing is healthcare debate. At a public meeting a few months ago, New York State Medicaid Director Jason Helgerson argued that federal Medicaid money already pays for housing through nursing homes and long hospital stays.
In fact, we have people in hospitals today in this city who shouldn't be in hospitals if they had someplace to go and could be safely discharged.
New York State is investing $260 million in supportive housing over the next 2 years. But they haven't been able to convince the federal government to match that yet.
That continues to be our fight, and I think we're beginning to get some traction on it. We still got some convincing to do.
By collecting data on how much is being spent versus how much is being saved, New York hopes to try again to convince the federal Medicaid program that, yes, housing is health care. Here's Brenda Rosen.
You're investing money to save more money. I mean, the state wouldn't be investing Medicaid dollars if they didn't think the return was going to be greater than what they invested in. And that's taking kind of the human element out of it. And of course, there is a human element there. But if you're just talking about numbers, it's a sound investment.
Dr. Vladek, who we heard from before, he ran Medicaid in the 90s, says he sees the benefits, except he thinks a housing program should be paid for by a housing agency.
As a society, both in the private sector and the public sector, we are really cheap and niggling and resentful about paying for social services, and we're much more generous when it comes to paying for health services.
But there's not enough housing money to go around for all the people who need it, like Lizette. She's done with living in the streets, but she still needs support.
Because I'm not ready to be out there. No, not yet.
She points towards a large window that faces the street. And I ask her again about her two sons.
And when was the last time you saw them?
A very long time.
With the help of her case manager at The Brook, Lizette is hoping to find them again. It's been many years, and they're now both young men. For WNYC, I'm Amanda Aronchik.